Praise the Lord. Thank you for singing good tonight. Praise God. Amen. We won't keep you in the heat that is going to go up any longer than necessary. We apologize for our air having a problem, but we've been in hotter places than this at the old Holy Church of God when the air would go out. And we pray that you just make yourself comfortable. Amen. You may be seated for a little while. And we're going to move very quickly into God's Word this evening. And we just pray that that somehow, in some way, the Lord will help us to see something that we need to see living in the last days as Christians. And one of the things I'm praying for as a minister is that we will see a return to the old pathways. And we will see a coming back to the relationship with God that is represented in the Scriptures. Can you say amen? So we began a message this morning, and I just want to finish it tonight for time's sake in particular, because how many people are filthy rich and have nothing to do tomorrow? That's what I thought. Amen. Wouldn't it be nice, though, to be filthy rich? I don't even know how the word filthy got identified with that, but I guess it's when you just got more than enough and more than you need, ever need. I have responsibilities tomorrow. I felt like when I was in this time in my life, I could kind of take it a little easier, but I'm busier now than I've ever been, and I don't see how I worked a job for 12 years, for all of those years, and was able to do this and take care of everything else. But God's timing is just perfect. When I retired from that job and all the responsibilities of being caregivers to my mother, my son, my dad, and my mother-in-law came upon us. So we got four people that we are caring for in some form or another. And so there's something constantly that we're doing for others. Sean is now moving into the caregiver stage. Sister Rose knows exactly what we're talking about tonight. And it can fatigue you and in many ways. But there is a grace. And what you said to my wife this morning, Rose, she was relating to me. I know you didn't talk very long, but what you said, the words were of the Lord, and they were significant. And she was rejoicing in just confirmation that God gives special grace for special circumstances. Amen. There are things that I can't imagine going through, but I don't have to try to figure out if I'm going to be capable. All I need to do is keep my trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible said that His grace is sufficient, and the Scripture said that He even gives more grace. Well, the title of this message is important because how many do believe that we are living in the last days that the Bible spoke of? You don't have to be a student of Bible prophecy to figure that out. I don't use the term last days with as much as I did because I really don't believe that that term does justice to where we are prophetically. I believe we're in the last of the last days. I believe the coming of Jesus Christ is imminent. I believe one of the paramount messages to the church at this particular time, that we should be preaching a lot more about the soon coming of Jesus and our preparing to go to meet Him. Amen. Anyone who can look at the paper, look at world conditions, hear the news broadcast, and look at the prophecies, and not just the conditions in the world. A lot of prophecy teachers point to the conditions in the world. The Bible said there will be earthquakes in various places, and we've seen an increase in earthquakes. But I want to be really clear with you tonight, because when the world hears us talking about these things, they're not ignorant of statistical facts. And we got to be factual tonight. Can you say, man, we can't feed that attitude of, you know what the attitude would be in the last days? Many scoffers shall come, walking after their own lust. And here's what they'll be saying. Amen. At the message of the soon coming of Christ, many scoffers will come, walking in their own lust, saying, "Where is the sign of His coming?" For ever since our fathers fell asleep, down through the history of man, throughout all time, all things have continued as they are to this day. But the Bible said, "But God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness." Amen. But He's long-suffering. Why won't their taunting and their chatter provoke Him to just come in to show them? You know why? He's long-suffering. Love suffereth long, and God is love. Amen. Not willing that any perish, but that all might have eternal life. That's why we're told to redeem the time, to be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And God doesn't will that any perish, but that all come to repentance and all have eternal life. And He just won't let proud, blaspheming man provoke Him into just showing up and taking His church out and letting the judgment fall. He's still reaching. Amen. He's still wanting to save. That's why I'm so excited about our outreach ministry from here. Some of those exotic places, I had the list. I was going to bring it with me, but one of them was Oslo, Norway. Amen. Oslo, Norway. Amen. To be sitting here in Florida and the ministry going out into Oslo, Norway. And somewhere in, Herzegovina, Bosnia. I mean, that place a few weeks ago. Places I can't pronounce. There are actually some places on there I cannot pronounce. But God knows where that is on the globe and on the map. And they're coming to hear the word of the Lord. Because we talk about the soon coming. In fact, our radio broadcast now is talking about the mystery of marriage and the wonderful majesty of the soon coming of Jesus, and how that ancient Jewish wedding and the manner of His coming correlate exactly. And God has begun that pattern. He'll follow that pattern. Praise God. And throughout the Bible, we got a bridegroom, we got a bride, we got a wedding supper when we get home. And it's all about love being consummated. And it's all about the mystery, amen, of marriage giving way to the majesty of His coming. And it's a beautiful scenario. And I'm excited about the soon coming of Jesus. Amen. So there's signs in the world, earthquakes in divers places, the distress of nations with perplexity. Right now, no one has answers. Everyone wants change, but no one's got a concrete a plan of how to do it. Everyone's got a lot of enthusiasm, but I'm waiting to hear a plan. Amen? Tell me the plan, Stan. Don't just get me enthusiastic about change. Tell me how it's going to happen. How are we going to make it different? How are we going to make it better? Perplexity of nations, nationally, not just our nation, but the nations of the world. Perplexity of nations, that word perplexity means puzzlement. It means we have all of these challenges and we have all of these great thinkers and intelligent people, but we can't come up with answers because it's too complicated. In fact, it's not about intelligentsia and ingenuity figuring it all out. This is a spiritual thing. We need God's blessing upon America. We won't need a big plan if we get God's blessing back in this nation. Can you say, Matt? We just won't need that. But we can't have God's blessing without repentance. Amen. And we can't have repentance unless the church embraces that message again. Amen. Repentance means a 180-degree turn. It doesn't mean weeping a little bit at an altar and going back into the same life pattern. Amen? It's militarily, it would be to about face. You're going down a road, you've got to spin around 180 degrees, half of a circle, and face the other way. And it's not what happens at the altar, it's what happens when we walk out the door that constitutes true repentance. It's a message unwelcome. In many circles of the church right now, that message is unwelcome. The rich church that looked only to God for material blessings had Jesus knocking on its door. Don't ever misinterpret the message to Laodicea in the book of Revelation chapter 3 as a message just to the lost in the world. It's the church of Laodicea. It's a church that had taken a gospel that told us about true riches, reduced it to just materialism, simple, plain out materialism. A self-indulgent church. And who's knocking at the door? Your poor preacher trying to ask them, can I preach in your pulpit? No. Jesus, the head of the church, is not welcome. If He had come with a healing campaign, that door would have flew open and the red carpet would have been rolled out. If He'd come to bless people with more money, the door would have opened and Jesus would have come flying in to preach. But His message was one of repentance. He said, you say I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. He said, but I say you're poor you're miserable, you're blind, and you're naked. And I counseled you to buy me gold tried in the fire that you may be rich, and white raiment that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness would not appear. Can you say, man? And anoint your eyes with eye salve. He wanted to give them a holy introspect. He wanted to see themselves through his eyes and not set their own standard through their own eyes. In their eyes, they'd achieved everything that they needed from God because they were after just the material things of this world. And once they achieved that, they said, we don't need anything. Don't ask us to repent of anything. Jesus says, you need repentance terribly. He said, I would rather you be hot or cold. But because you are lukewarm, what's his attitude? He's very strong in this preaching. He said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. But then he went on to tell them that he's not angry and wanting to judge them. He's loving them and wanting to shake them into the reality of their need. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Isn't that incredible? The Christ with a message of repentance, unwelcome in his own church of those who say they love him and that he's supposed to be supreme in their life. It's amazing that we're moving into a day when there are so many signs in the world that indicate the coming of Christ is near, but many people are overlooking the distinct, direct signs that are in the church. That day shall not come till there come a falling away first. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen? The Bible said, when shall be these things be? Matthew 24:11-12. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? And Jesus answered and said, many false prophets shall go out into the world, and they shall deceive many. This will not be an aberration. This will be happening in the church in the end time. It's happening now. Because iniquity will be abound. No one is challenging about holiness and righteousness. Every problem in your life is solved by the writing of a check and the sending of it in. We're not dealing with that evangelist. We're dealing with God Almighty. And it's not a simple financial transaction. It's a matter of the heart. Can you say amen? And there's certain things we cannot bypass or circumvent in His Word. If we don't embrace the message of repentance, this nation is headed for more trouble. I'm a God of great mercy. I stand ready to restore. Yea, and to bless abundantly. But my people must return to me in order for me to return to them, saith God. If my people will turn and return to me, I will show you my glory. I will bless you with a blessing. And the men and women of this world will look upon you and know that you are my people. And I am your God, saith the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Taylor, I want the genuine, authentic power of God back. I'm not impressed with what money can buy and build. I want to see the sick heal. I want to see the lame walk. I want to see the blind see. I want to see demons dislodged. Hallelujah. I want to see people steeped in sin set free from those shackles of sin. I want to see addicts set free like my son was set free. I want to see revival sweep through my family. I want to see my grandson saved. Hallelujah. You know what he told me today? I was showing him this little building and talking about our size, and it's adequate now, but we've got plenty of room to build. He said, well, even if you had a church of 1,000 people, he said, you wouldn't be preaching in the Philippines or in these other places like the Lord has opened doors for you. You know what he said about this place? He said, this is not just a house. He said, this was a house until y'all come in and started worshiping the Lord in it. He says, now it's God's house. He said, that's what makes it church. Can you say, man? He said, oh, he was just up building. I thought, dear Lord in heaven, he's not even saved yet. Just wait till he gets saved. Can you say, man? He said, it's not the steeple that makes it a church. Amen. It's where people come to worship God. And I said, go on, boy. Hallelujah. My man. Church isn't church because it has stained glass in it. Church isn't church because it has a steeple. Church isn't church even if it's full of people. Church is church when two or more gather in His name to glorify Him. He said, there am I in the midst of them. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. That means He's here. When He's here, we can have church. My grandson recognized His presence here. And I'm so glad that he did. I'm glad he had a God encounter. Many false prophets shall go out into the land and deceive many. And because iniquity will abound, the preaching of righteousness, holiness goes by the wayside. Everything is reduced to a financial transaction. And people are not doing real business with God. Can you say amen? And yet we need God's true blessing upon our life. Let me read the scripture again that we read this morning just for a few moments. Time is running very quickly here. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord. Listen to this phrase, that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, this is a twofold message, because not only are we dealing about false teachers marking the condition of the church in the end time and the many that will follow them, but we're also talking about the fact that the true church, the authentic church, we Christians who love God and want the truth, we've been bought by Him. Amen? And we've not just been bought, we've been bought with a price. And what gives us such worth tonight and is supposed to melt our hearts and bring forth such deep devotion is the price that God and Christ was willing to pay to ransom you and me. Everywhere in the Bible that you see the word redeemed, understand that every blessing of the new covenant is based on a ransom, because redeemed means to pay a ransom to set someone free. Can you say amen? Jesus came to set the captive free. But not just through His anointing. That's not enough. In order to liberate the prisoners, He had to take our place on the cross and shed His blood. Amen? And He was willing to go that far to redeem you and me. So He expects from us a devotion to serve Him for the right reasons, to love Him with our whole heart, our whole being. And I believe the challenge has been so, Lord, that we're not even challenged to devote our life to Christ for the right reasons. Who wouldn't serve God to become rich and powerful in this world? Who wouldn't serve God for the wrong reasons? But the only way we'll see true revival if we start serving Him for the right reasons. Can you say amen? And not only that, but we'll never know true revival until we rejoice. Now, I don't care how many years you've been saved. You're not supposed to get over the price that was paid for you. It's supposed to be fresh. It's supposed to be something that you get up in the morning with a sense of deep gratitude and say, Lord, I'm still standing in awe that You would come into this world, become flesh, and go to that cross and take my place and my punishment so I could be set free. You are bought with a price and you are not your own. What God is saying is this should stimulate you to give your whole life to Jesus in a full devotion so that we could sing the song and mean it. Take this whole world and give me Jesus. Now here's the good news is you don't have to live like a pauper in order to serve Jesus. But you certainly don't have to have the riches of this world. I don't believe anybody in here is opulent. If you are, you're keeping it a well-held secret. I'm not expecting to be opulent. Opulent meaning I have more than I could possibly use or desire. Last week I taught you a phrase that most of you are familiar with. I put it in plain street language. Amen. Most of our money that comes in is, you remember? Gravy through a goose. What an astute theological statement that is. Can you say amen? That means it goes into the bank so that we can pay our bills and keep a record of it. You put it in, you write it out. Amen? We get close to the end of the month because my dad's on Social Security. My son is on Social Security disability, and I'm on Social Security now with a little help from my congregation. Amen? That's the only way I can make it. And I start going like that near the end of the month. My son Matthew's going on 37. He says, Dad, what is it? I said, the eagle flies. Amen. He said, is it that time already? I said, oh, yes. Amen. And just in time, too. Praise God. It goes in so we can write it out. Amen. And most people are living that kind of situation. It's okay because my needs are met. Amen. I didn't say all of my wants are met, but I'm praying that my wants can get to the point that what I want more than anything else is more of Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So that I can live within my means and be happy in Jesus. Say, live within your means and be happy with Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches you. Amazingly. The wonderful thing about it is if God wants to promote you, He knows it's not going to ruin you. Because He's already seen you satisfied and grateful for what you have. Amen. It's not going to make you like the church of Laodicea. If He comes and says, listen, you got all this stuff, but I want to give you something spiritually. I want to bring you closer to me and get the idols out of your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to repent because I love you. And I don't want the world to sway you. That we would open that door and say, come on in, Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. To know that I'm held in His nail-pierced hands than to be a king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. The revival, and now I'm telling you this prophetically, I'm not a prophet, I'm a pastor, but occasionally a spiritual anointing comes on me to say something prophetic, and it's coming stronger and stronger and more frequently. The revival that is going to touch this nation is not going to be led by a gifted individual. Everything we call revival fizzled out, or the leader failed. Can you say amen, morally or otherwise? Because it's hard to take the elevation that man gives man when man is used of God without falling into pride and spiritual blindness and bondage. Everyone can't handle that kind of power, and everyone can't handle riches, to be honest with you, when it gets to the point of lifting people up. Amen? And many people fall prey to that because they assume I can handle it. I got such a powerful anointing. It's not that anointing. It's that devotion to Jesus that says I'd rather have Him. Push come to shove. You can have all of this. Paul said it's all but dung that I might win Christ. What a shift in the paradigm of values. The things I once counted gain to me. What a shift came in the value system in his life. The things I once counted gain to me, I count them as but dung that I might, what, win Jesus Christ. Amen. God could have blessed him if he chose to, amen, without ruining him. Did you know even spiritual anointing? God saw in Paul that in a human being that highly honored by people because of the strong anointing. Remember when Paul preached at Mars Hill? You know what they said? The gods have come down to us in the form of men. Such a powerful anointing on him. He rent his garment, showed them his bare flesh, and said, don't give me the glory. That glory belongs to God. And when that lame man leapt and walked at the gate beautiful, Peter did not give credit to his anointing. He said, why look upon us as that by our power or our holiness, this man stands before you whole? He said, remember the man you put on the tree said was dead? God has raised him from the dead. And through his name, this man has his soundness before you all. Can you say amen? Oh, that there would be preachers today. Give the credit where the credit is due. He may anoint us, but he anoints us to exalt Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! And if God heals through us, there's only one way to get it done. Amen. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick. The prayer of faith will save them, but there's only one true healer. The Lord will raise them up. Can you say amen? The Lord gets the honor. The Lord gets the glory. Oh. Revelations can get you into problems. If you take credit and assume yourself to be more spiritual, more enlightened, and deserve more honor than anyone else. Paul said, there was given to me an emissary from Satan to buffet me. Want to know what the buffeting was? Be glad to explain that to you. Paul said, I was shipwrecked 3 times. Amen? You didn't want to go on a cruise with Paul. Didn't you say, amen? Go with somebody else that Satan can tolerate, but don't go with Paul. Can you say amen? Because you get on a boat with Paul, the boat may wreck. He told us about one shipwreck in Acts. Amen. And he said, I was in the deep for a day and a night. The only way I survived a shipwreck, one time I was out there all night and all day, but they rescued me. Beaten with rods. 3 times. Given 39 stripes, save one on 5 separate occasions. He said, to add to that, I was stoned and left for dead. He said, I was among false brethren. On one occasion, some men got together and said, we will not eat or drink until we murder Paul. Oh, wow. Where's the penthouse? Where's the rolls? Come on, Paul, get with the program here. You don't have to go through all that. Why don't you just confess all of that away? You know, Paul said, I bear the marks of an apostle, and it wasn't a penthouse and a rose that marked him. It was the sufferings he endured with joy for Jesus Christ. The persecutions that came upon him because he was such a threat to the devil. You know what emissary means from Satan? A special agent. That meant Satan chose a demon that was very effective in destroying men and women. And he said, I want you to forget all the other people that you're after. And I want you to use everything you got against one man. One man. You come against him in every way. Every influence you have, you use it against this one man. And Paul said, boy, it began to take its toll on me. And I went before God on 3 occasions and asked him to remove this thorn in my flesh. Can you say amen? And you know what? After God didn't just bring him out of that and set him up like a lot of people today, you know what? God spoke to his heart. And he was questioning, why haven't you answered me? God spoke to his heart. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is perfected. Not when you are up here presenting yourself as so strong and powerful and full of anointing and you got all this stuff to prove your godliness. My strength, the authentic, the real stuff, is perfected in weakness. For when I am weak, dependent totally on Christ, then am I made strong. And he said the reason God allowed that in his permissive will, lest I be lifted up above measure for the many revelations that God had given him. He wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. Can you say amen? Miracles were wrought in his hands, but he wouldn't take credit for it. He said, our sufficiency, not that we are sufficient as of anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of the Lord. It's God's grace, it's God's mercy, God's anointing, God's power, and all of it is to his glory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Wow. Signs in the church. We're either going to be mastered by Jesus Christ. He'll be the Lord of our life. or we're going to be merchandised by men. Because they're going to present an alternative gospel and an alternative way that circumvents the cross. There were false prophets among the people. See, this is nothing new. There will be false teachers among you who will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. I explained that to you this morning. I do not expect anybody to drop dead in the pulpit. I expect them to continue on just like they're going. That is the judgment that will bring them to destruction. It's when God backs off and says, I knock at the door, you won't open it. You have light, but you're choosing darkness over the light. Your greed has blinded you. Your pride has hardened you. The message of repentance is not welcome because people applaud you and your own flesh glories in that vainglory of having people idolize you. And the church is guilty of putting men and women on pedestals where God would never put them, because God will never put you in a place that will make you vulnerable to pride. That's why Paul experienced a lot of trouble so that God can continue to use him and he wouldn't fall victim. So what does God say he will do if you don't open the door? Let me have intimacy with you. Let me lead you to repentance because I love you and I want to help you. He said, I will reject you. I'll spew you out of my mouth. But who does he chasten anyway? Who does God chasten? Every son that he loves. Brother Venable, do you question people's salvation? Honey, you better make your call in election sure. Because you're not going to be judged by the Christian bookstore books that are on the counter. You're not going to be judged by the evangelist that has tens of thousands of people following him or her. The criteria for your judgment is going to be this book. And the Lord that judges you is Jesus Christ. I don't preach poverty, nor do I represent it. God has taken care of me for all of these years and met all of the needs of our life. But I do preach against materialism, because it locks the message of repentance out. And if we refuse to repent, God has no alternative. It's not because he quits loving. It's because he can't help us unless we return to him. Somewhere in America, I forgot the state and the city, but there's a little town, and there is a road into that town, somewhere out in the Midwest or West. It's a small town out in the flyover states between, you know, the East Coast and West Coast. There's a little town literally out there. If you had one of those guidance systems on your car, it would show a road going in. But there's no road coming out. At the end of the city limits of the little town, you have to go through what they call a cul-de-sac situation, where you go around the town square and go around it to where you come right back to the road that you came in. And the only way out is to do a 180-degree turn. There's no alternative route out of that town. So if you ever want to get out of Dodge, and it's that town, you've got to go out the way you went in. We're trying to circumvent repentance with seed faith. See, they don't care if you're right with God or not. Just send the money and God's going to heal you, help you, deliver you. There's more to this than a financial transaction. We serve a God that judges us by the thoughts and intents of our heart. We serve a God that says, if you don't forgive your brother, I'm not going to forgive you. We serve a God that says, when you stand praying, you better forgive. Because if you don't, I won't. We're not teaching holiness. We're not teaching righteousness. We serve a God that says to flee fornication. We serve a God that says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Keep it holy. For if you defile it willfully, wantonly, in a blatant act of insurrection and rebellion, him will God destroy. Does your Bible teach anything like that? You won't hear it from these hucksters that just want you for the dollar sign. They don't care about none of that. They know the check might not be written if you think you got to repent. It's easier to write a check than forgive your enemy. It's way easier to write a check than to come out of promiscuity. And yet the Bible says if you really want to talk about adultery, when you choose this world and its values over the kingdom of God, He calls us adulterers and adulteresses. Can you say amen? That's strong language that you don't hear from pulpits today. One preacher that has a church of 30,000 that meets every Sunday made this statement in his latest interview. I don't teach doctrine. I don't teach doctrine. Pastor of a church influencing 30,000 in the congregation by TV, hundreds of thousands. It's hard to go witnessing because of preachers like that. People are not convicted of their sin. You go knock on the door and they say, I watch Brother so-and-so on television. I like him. Well, of course you like him, darling. Amen. All God is there for is to make you rich and powerful and famous. He's not there to convict you. He would never think of chastising you. Let me tell you something about chastisement. The Bible said that you are not to faint when we're chastened of Him. Because God chastens how many sons that He loves? Everyone? And if you be without chastisement, if it's never happened to you, I question your salvation. Because you're not too perfect that God would never have to deal with anything in your life. See, if you come to this church, you're going to hear the truth as it's written in that book that we pack around. That's not just something like a rabbit's foot. This is the eternal Word of God. Amen? He expects me to teach it. He expects me to live it. He expects you to live it. Amen? From time to time, I have went through chastenings. I expect a few more before I get to heaven. It's not because I'm mean or bad. It's because I'm human. I don't always love my enemies for a while. Bible said you're supposed to do it before 12 hours is up if you get mad at daylight. If you get mad at noon, you got 6 hours. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. I found myself getting up one morning mad as I was the night I went to bed. Every time I think about it, it makes my blood boil. Then I get down to pray. Because something happens that I just have to have God come through. And I meet that thing. Hallelujah. And I say, Lord, I need you more than the air I breathe. Praise God. I can't afford to be wrong with you. I welcome the Jesus that says, Bobby, you need to repent of that. I want to be clean before Him. I want to be clear. I don't want somebody to merchandise me just so I'll come back and give them what they're really after. I want Jesus to master me. Can you say amen? Oh, the Scripture. Paul said, thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph. And we think that means who always gives us victory so we're always up on top of the world. You know what God leading you in triumph means? It means that you have acquiesced to Him. It means that He is the Lord of your life. Christian victory is based on who is the master of your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. He leads me in triumph because I acquiesce. Every time I say, not my will but thine be done, He leads me in triumph. He triumphs over me. But the good news is, when He's able to triumph over me, I'm able to triumph over the world. I'm able to triumph over Satan. And I'm able to triumph over my flesh. Can you say amen? The false teachers lead us to self-indulgence. Come to God for what He can give you in the immediate physical material world. That's self-indulgence. Jesus said, beware lest thine heart be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. That day come upon you as a thief. For as a snare, it shall come upon all the inhabitants of the earth. They're not going to be looking for judgment to fall. They're not looking for Jesus to come. God is relevant only in the immediate sense of our self-indulgence. Some of you think you need a bigger house to be happy. You need a better relationship with Jesus to be happy. The house didn't do it for the Hollywood crowd or the rap stars. It didn't do it for MC Hammer. Amen? He had it all and went bankrupt. It didn't even do it for a lot of the boxers that made millions. But sin bankrupted them. Amen? How did the church get envious of a fallen world and its value system? How did that happen? It happened through false teachers. Who said it's God's will for you to be like them instead of like Him. And because He is not like them, they try to transform Him into something just like them. And I'm telling you, the Jesus that was standing at the door of Laodicea wasn't impressed by their confession of riches. He said, I assess you differently. You're poor. Though you're the richest church in the city, if you don't have a right relationship with God, you're poor. You're miserable. You're blind and you're naked. Even in your Armani, you're naked. There's only one robe that can clothe you in God's sight. It's called the robe of righteousness. Can you say amen? Job said, I put on righteousness. What did it do? It clothed him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Noah was not just an ark builder. I come by, and I got to hurry here, but I come by this ark that was set up as across from that dinosaur world. Midway between Plant City and here, there's an ark that looks like Noah's ark. Somebody was going to put a theme thing in, went bankrupt, I guess, and it's for lease. And my dad's got a long white beard. And when God said, let there be light, it looks like He flipped the switch. He's been around a long time. Amen? That's pretty good, buddy. He flipped the switch. They'll get it later on tonight. Amen. My daddy would make the best Noah you ever saw. He'd be so believable, kids could yank on his beard and it wouldn't come off. Amen? I'd just love to have that big thing. I thought if I could not just lease it, could buy it and have him pick it up and sit it over here, we'd have the ark church. Praise God. Amen. People come to see what it's all about and get in here and get the truth of God. Amen. And find people worshiping Him. Just a thought that I had. But I found out something about Noah. He's well known and notorious for building an ark. Amen. Bringing the animals inside. But the New Testament gives us a deeper insight than that. The New Testament said Noah, the eighth from Adam. In Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. It's not just about believing God. It's about serving God. Noah, the eighth from Adam. A preacher of righteousness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen, every preacher, without exception, is supposed to be a preacher of righteousness. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Righteousness? Yes. They'll be filled. Filled with what? What they're hungry for. Righteousness. But the good news is when you're right with God, He can fill you with His Holy Spirit and your own flesh won't be in the way of God flowing to you and through you. Jesus was right with His Father and God gave Him the Spirit without measure. He can bless you and not make you proud. Amen? He can keep you from the ideals, the idolatry that is in the world. Covetousness, the Bible says, is equal to idolatry. Isn't it amazing that we want what the world has? There are people preaching about the riches of the Gentiles being given to the church. Been preaching that for years, by the way. Amen. Hadn't happened yet, and people are too stubborn and proud and want it so bad they won't stop and re-examine the preacher or the Bible. Sarah Palin has a little saying. It's really sarcastic. Forgive me for being sarcastic, but how's that working out for you? How's that working out for you? It's amazing how hooked we get on these things that we just can't stop. We can't stop. We can't turn around and go back. So we never repent of following Jesus for the wrong reasons. Amen? I don't envy this world. My Bible says, my son, let not your heart envy sinners. Don't go after them. That doesn't mean that I don't appreciate blessings. I do. It wouldn't surprise me if God didn't bless me with more materially because I'm so happy with what I have. It's not necessary for me to shout victory. I'm not in competition with this world because this world doesn't have what I have. Amen. I found a treasure hid in the field. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that treasure is so precious that when a man discovers how precious it is, He sells all that he hath if it's necessary to possess it. That's the true kingdom of God. It's not about this world. There's only one person that used the kingdoms of this world to try to get worship, and it wasn't God. Satan took Jesus to a high place and showed him what? What did Satan show him? The kingdoms of this world. And he said, if you'll worship me, it's within my power to give them to you. Amen? Aren't you glad Jesus didn't take the route of self-indulgence? Because he would have never went to that cross. But he took the route of self-sacrifice. Hallelujah. And for the joy that was set before him. The joy of what? Pleasing his Father and saving you and me. For the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. While simultaneously despising the shame. Not just the pain of the nails. But the shame of one so holy being treated as the worst of sinners and absorbing the wrath of God. God literally, to use a modern term, he downloaded our sin onto Jesus and then judged him for it. We're bought with a price. And the reason we're supposed to give ourselves away in total devotion is the price was nothing less than the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He deserves our everything. He deserves our all. Can you say amen? And we should never compare and compete with a world that doesn't respect him or know him or want him. Who one day is going to draw their last breath and go somewhere forever. Did you know everybody's going to live forever? Not just Christians, going to get resurrected. The unrighteous dead are going to have to come back to life to stand before God. And they're going to have to spend eternity somewhere. Forever. Amen? Is that the Bible? Is that serious? And why don't we hear about it? Why don't we hear about it? Listen to this as we hurry to a closing tonight. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, their immoral ways. If he can do it, I can do it. If they can do it and be blessed, I can do it. I don't see them as blessed. I see them as blind, like Jesus said. I don't see them as rich. I see them as spiritually impoverished. One man in his million-dollar house is dissatisfied. Can you imagine? How many people in here could somehow get by until Jesus comes in a million-dollar home? I mean, you could just sacrifice. Why isn't our spiritual leadership satisfied? What are they trying to prove? What kind of example are they setting? Get rid of the million-dollar house because I'm building me a $3 million house. And what's he building it with? He's building with money from people that are sacrificially giving. God takes a dim view of that. And the worst judgment he could send is not just chastisement. The worst judgment he can send is to let them alone. Don't bother with them. I question seriously their salvation. I'll tell you why. Because if any man be in Christ, he's not just like this world. His values don't match this world. Come on. Something has to change. You say, Brother Bumby, you don't know their heart. I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. You shall know them by the fruit that they bear. For an evil tree can't bring forth no good fruit. And a good tree can't bring forth evil fruit. Every tree is known by the fruit it bears. So make the tree good and its fruit match. Or make the tree evil. There's no middle ground here. Can you say, man, we're either right with God or we're wrong with God? If we're right, we need to rejoice. If we're wrong, we need to get right. Amen. Hallelujah. Besides that, there's a window to the soul. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I don't want to even turn on the television next Easter to try to find someone that will talk about Christ's resurrection instead of money. They can't even stop to celebrate the holiest day in Christianity, because Jesus coming and Jesus dying would mean nothing if His blood hadn't been accepted by God and God didn't justify us through His resurrection. Can you say, man, if Jesus can't conquer death, we can't. If God didn't accept His sacrifice and He stayed in the ground, none of us are coming up. That's how vital the resurrection is. I don't care what the bills are. At some point, we're going to have to quit talking faith and start walking faith. If God's in that ministry, I believe preaching the gospel will bring enough blessing from God that we don't have to keep soliciting people as if without them we're going under. Amen? Where is this mighty God? I'm going to just say something else tonight. If it works by the formula they've given, why don't they write a big check to some missionary down in Africa? They're going to, listen, if they need $1 million, just write out $100,000. How dumb can we get? How much fleecing are we going to take before we say that's enough? How many men are we going to follow before we get back to following Jesus? You say, but I love brother so-and-so. Well, I wish you would love Jesus that enough to listen to Him. Can you say amen? Well, I really believe He's a man of God. This is the most biblically illiterate generation that's ever lived around here. Amen? We're listening to what they tell us. We're not down in this thing digging for truth. The Bible said many false prophets, not a few, but many. And they will deceive a few of us. No, they'll deceive many. And because of their immoral lifestyle, they don't walk in holiness and they don't teach it. The way of truth will be evil spoken of. The world is not near as gullible as the church. They see it for what it is. And it's hard for the genuine to talk to them anymore. Can you say, man? They say that God has given them all of this to win the world. Honey, they're not winning the world with this. I like what Dr. Michael L. Brown said in his book, How Saved Are We? He's got a chapter in there called The Rude Awakening. He said today the Church of America does not need a great awakening. We need a rude awakening. A spirit of slumber is over the body. And we are under great deception. We think we're in the last days revival, but we're really in a fight for survival. Is that revival? Is a few excited people? One guy got gold dust on his suit and people went haywire. We're in such a spiritual vacuum. We haven't returned to God through repentance, so God hadn't truly returned to us. So we grab at any little thing like a drowning man grabbing a twig. My Lord in heaven, there's a preacher with gold dust. And we got the gold dust revival. Let's all get in a plane and go to that church where we can see a little bit of gold dust fall from somewhere. So, and when one church has got wings, I mean little bitty feathers fall. Remember Goosey Lucy? Hear the story of Goosey Lucy? This lady evangelist she'd be getting ready to preach and these big feathers would come floating out into the audience. She said, the angels of the Lord are in here and Pentecostals just go haywire. I didn't know angels molted. I never knew. I thought they were celestial beings. I had birds that did that, but I didn't know angels did. I thought there was a little more to angels than the same kind of feathers. So, you know, people are going to check us out, so we better be authentic. We're running after everything, and when they show it wrong, they show how gullible we are. I don't have to see angels. I don't have to see gold dust or angel wings. I've been to Calvary. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. I believe Jesus is raised from the dead. And He said, I ain't got no other sign for this generation. Guy took one of the feathers to a butcher shop. Said, what is that? He said, I can show you a bunch just like that. He said, because I don't just sell turkeys here and chickens here and hogs here. I sell geese here. He said, "My dear friend, this is a goose feather. Big fan behind the area where she preached. Dumped some goose feathers out. Blows it out over the audience, and Pentecostals just saying it." So she earned a title, Goosey Lucy. They were going up to the preacher taking tape, getting little bits of that gold dust. Somebody finally come along, took it to a chemist to have analyzed. And it was plastic mixed with aluminum. Heaven is really hurting economically. Can you say amen? Because what heaven is raining on us is false gold made out of plastic and aluminum. Come on, the world's not going to sit out there and be as gullible as we are. I want the real. When I was dying of leukemia, something real happened to me. It wasn't about goosey, loosey feathers or false gold dust. It was about Jesus' name and the power of His name. Hallelujah. God healed me. I'd rather be healed than have something sprinkled on me. My son given up to die with a damaged liver. 30 years of alcoholism. Acute alcoholism. Twice in a mental institution. Twice in the hospital for alcohol poisoning. One time attempting suicide. One time in the hospital, bleeding, passing blood, checking out of the hospital, bound in sin. No way out. No intercession seems to be working. But when God came through, God set him free from 30 years of alcoholism. Hallelujah. That's what I'm after. You can play the church games all you want, but I want to be right with God so I can get a prayer through so God can answer it legitimately, powerfully, fully. At the Gate Beautiful, Peter didn't ask that man for nothing. He asked him he would receive something Peter had freely received to give him. Can you say, man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Today, they would ask him to do something in forms of finance to get God to love him enough to help him. As if you could buy what Jesus bought and paid for on the cross. Don't you know healing was bought at Calvary? You can't buy it with no money. One man tried to buy the power of the Holy Ghost, and Paul said, "Your money perish with thee." He said, "You better get down before God and repent of associating that is holy with that drives this old world." Amen? Today there's not just an implication that you can buy it. It is specified. You want your son healed? You want your daughter healed of cancer? Write that big check. That's how you get healed. That's not how you get healed. It was by His stripes you were healed. It took place at the cross. Can you say amen? Freely you receive, freely give. The church shouldn't be selling and packaging what Jesus paid for in His own blood. We need a revival where people come back to God and back to the Bible and back to loving Jesus for the right reasons. Does it mean we're going to be impoverished? No. Does it mean we're going to be like the world? Absolutely not. Amen. God has made some people on occasion very rich to bless the kingdom. Welch was one of them. There's a lot of cheaper grape juices than Welch's, but I usually buy Welch's because of the man who started it. He's probably out of the picture now. Like most businesses grow to where the founder's not involved and it's more of a commercialized thing. But Mr. Welch decided to go into missions. He and his wife went into mission fields. They didn't go there to get wealth. They went there to win souls. They sacrificed and gave up the things of this world to go and lift up Jesus. God figured, "I can trust him with some wealth." Can you say, man? Because it won't ruin him, tarnish him, and make him like the world. Won't change his value system. He went over and his wife got sick. He come back home and said, "Obviously God didn't call us to missions. So Lord, help me to support missions." And he said, "Churches all over the place are looking for a non-alcoholic beverage, fruit of the vine, to serve in Holy Communion. I want to start making grape juice for those churches. That's where Welch's began. Now it's commercially to everyone. But he said, let me support missions. And God blessed that little old business to become a big old business. And the biggest name in grape juice is Welch's. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God blessed him. And he gave tens of thousands of dollars to missions. And the reason God could trust him is because he proved I'm not in it to get the wealth of the world. I'm in it for the kingdom of God. Isn't that incredible? We think we're ready to take on the whole world, but it's the world that has taken us. It's now or never for the people of God. Either we dream on or we face the facts. But one way or another, we'll be aroused from our stupor by an internal stirring or an external shaking, by inward perseverance or by outward persecution, by judging ourselves or by being judged. Either way, our peaceful sleep is about to come to an abrupt end. You know what the prophets did in Jesus' day? In the Old Covenant, rather. They prophesied peace when there was no peace. They told the people what they wanted to hear instead of what God had to say. They stopped preaching repentance and they created this kind of anything goes God that just lives to bless, and he doesn't care whether you're in rebellion. He doesn't care if you're right or wrong with him. And they cried peace, peace, when there was no peace. And God said of them, the prophets don't listen to me. They don't get their message from me. They prophesy by their own means, not by my unction. And my people, love to have it that way. And then God says, what shall be the end of these things? I've got one story to tell you, a true story from the Old Covenant. Jeremiah comes and says, Israel, if you don't repent, you're going to end up losing your battles. You're going to end up serving your enemies and not being delivered. If you don't repent of your idolatry, your rebellion, God will allow corrective judgment to come to you. Amen? Amen? By the way, the New Testament says to the New Testament church under grace, he said, you're a wild olive branch grafted into the true vine. He said, don't boast yourself against them because you're under grace and they were not. He said, if God cut them off because of blatant rebellion and disobedience, you're not above them because you're in the dispensation of grace. Are you here? Amen. New covenant. Promise of judgment. If we keep rejecting Jesus with a message of repentance. Not the Jesus we want to receive, but the Jesus of Scripture. Not the Jesus we create, but the one that the Bible tells us that we are dealing with. This is not about me. See, you can go to another church, but you can't change God's. You can get another pastor that won't tell you the truth. You can do that, and people do that all the time, but you can't change God's. And God's not obligated to do what he says unless it lines up with what the Bible said. Amen. Don't boast against the true vine. So Jeremiah, and he says, he takes a yoke. He puts it around him. And he says, you're going to have to serve the king of Babylon. You're going to lose your battles. You're going to go into captivity. Amen? Judgment's coming on Israel. I told you. God told you through me. Now judgment's coming. He says, take it. Man up and take it. I'll restore you and bring you back. Is there something up there? Lord, help us. Don't want to break the light. A false prophet. By the way, the people didn't rejoice and they didn't repent because they had an alternative. Do you know that the devil will always give you an alternative for truth? And it's not going to come through some red jumpsuit guy with a pitchfork. We're getting close to Halloween. I got to tell you this because I like to see one smile before you leave. For people that are right with God, you can appreciate this. Actually, it's supposed to have happened. Little country church up in Kentucky. Comes down through the tales that were told that really happened in churches. Halloween, a guy decides with a bunch of boys. He got him one of them red jumpsuits from some catalog mail order place way back in the day. Today we not blown away, but nobody ever seen anybody in a red jumpsuit with horns. He put on that red jumpsuit. He didn't go trick-or-treating either. Halloween fell on Wednesday. He showed up at the prayer meeting, that little church back in the hills. He put on the red jumpsuit, that devil-looking mask, had him a red-looking pitchfork thing. I mean, it just covered him up until he looked like what people visualize the devil is looking like. Right in the middle of the prayer meeting, he come in the side door of the church and said, "I'm the devil. I've come to eat your flesh and take your soul." Pastor was the first one out the door. And everybody else followed him out. But there was one lady that was trapped over here coming out of the bathroom that was over on the other side, and she was in there with him alone. And she fell down on her knees and said, "Please, Mr. Devil, don't hurt me. I go to church every Sunday, but you know I'm on your side." It'd be so easy to detect the devil if he wore that outfit. Because if I saw somebody in the pulpit that looked like that, I don't care how many people follow them. I don't care how big the church is. I don't care how anointed they might seem to be. If I could see it as it is. Listen to me carefully. The Bible said, "And no marvel if Satan himself be transformed as an angel of light, and his ministers," this is in the church now, "as ministers of" what? "Of all those diabolical occultic stuff." No, "as ministers of righteousness." There's many times I'm preaching and I see it in eyes and expressions. You really don't want to hear this, but I'm going to tell you whether you want to hear it or not. God loves you so much you need to hear it. Amen. If you're going to come to this church, I'm bound by my calling to tell you the truth and to challenge you. If you're right with God, this won't hurt you. If you have a heart for God, this won't harm you. You were bought with a price. They're denying the Lord that bought you. That's why they won't preach His Lordship over your life. Only over your finances, over your circumstances, but not over your life. You get to live your life as a free agent, and you get all the blessings of a Lord that just takes care of all the details. His primary place of lordship is over your heart and your soul and your mind and your body. Can you say amen? And the Bible said through covetousness, literally, covetousness. Covetousness in the scriptures, excessive cravings. The Bible calls it idolatry, synonymous with idolatry. It's a constant reaching for more, for that is bigger, more luxurious. It's a trap multitudes of Christians fall into in these wild times. Peter warned us to beware of covetous ministers who would use the word to exploit believers. Greedy preachers who would develop a false doctrine of avarice and greed. To this particular preacher, he was sent a videotape of a convention sponsored by a well-known evangelist. He said, "I could hardly believe what I saw. It was blasphemy." One preacher boasted, "I just spent $15,000 for a dog." Well, if you can spend $15,000 on a dog, you don't need my ten. Amen? Well, what kingdom are you after? He said, "The ring on my finger cost me $32,000. One lady evangelist spent $1 million on her wedding. She said, "I started out with a $500,000 budget," prophetess to the body of Christ. "I started out with a $500,000 budget, but it ended up costing me $1 million. But it was worth it because it was my day." $1 million wedding. It ended in divorce. It ended in destruction. Can you say amen? So the wealth of the world didn't take care of those issues that only Jesus, being Lord over both lives, can do. Amen. Flaunting the money doesn't mean we've arrived at some special place of spiritual status. How can we keep, and the people preach on and get applauded on and supported on? They couldn't exist without God's people making them what they are. They will never get a calling to leave their nets and follow Him, to leave their penthouse. They will fly into Africa, preach for 5 days, and fly out in their own jet to their own penthouse. But they'll never be called to stay in Africa and live with those people and give up everything for souls. Can you say, man, never, ever, ever, no one, ever? He said, I live in an 8,000 square foot house. This is 2350 here. Almost three times what this is. Almost four times. But I'm going to build a bigger one. One Solomon would be proud of. Solomon didn't build that thing for him. Can you say, man? This wasn't Solomon's house to live in to flaunt his riches. This is for God to be worshipped in. He said, when people in my town see my big house and my Rolls Royce in the driveway, they'll know there's a God in heaven. You know what? We used to see people healed. We used to see them delivered. We used to see them set free. We used to see the lost saved, and we knew there was a God in heaven. Amen. We used to hear, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I can give you. And people rose up and walked. Can keep your 8,000 square feet house and heal me of the leukemia that was killing me and heal my son of a decimated liver and hepatitis. God not only delivered him from alcohol, but he healed his liver, and his doctor said, this is God. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. My son didn't expect to live 6 months, but he's alive and well, and it's been over 6 months free of alcohol with a healed liver. God is on the throne. That's how you know God is on the throne. This pastor said, I wanted to weep because the entire time he spoke, people were running on stage stuffing money in his pockets. Another speaker warned the crowd, don't ever give to the poor. Give only to the blessed. Jesus said, whoever gives the poor lendeth to the Lord. Jesus said, when you've done to these the least of these, my brethren, then and only then have you truly done it unto me. Can you say, man? Jesus, the proverb said, he that stoppeth his ears to the cry of the poor shall cry himself and will not be heard. Pure religion, James says, and undefiled before God and the Father is this. And how many of we need something pure today? We're in the last days. It's almost over. We need something pure. Not what my flesh wants or what yours wants. We need to hear what God has to say. That preacher ain't going to come to your house and make it good if you get sick. They're not going to take responsibility. They don't know you from Adam's house cat. And they don't want to know you. They want what you have, period. They don't care for your soul. And you know what? They've got on their side because you want to be like them instead of like him. And they're trying to make him like them. If you ever get in that Bible, you're going to find out he's nothing like them. Can you say amen? Some of you didn't say amen. I know you're not going to come back, but you were here tonight. You either missed God or God sent you here, one or the other. And if God sent you here, he knew exactly what I was going to preach. Can you say amen? I get too many phone calls of people that these people have messed up and they're in trouble and they don't know what in the world to do. Some people only show up here where truth is. When they're in a real pickle. Because those folks can't make God bless you. Nobody can make God do anything. Can you say amen? But there are things God said I will respond to. And righteousness is one of those things that God always responds to. Righteousness does what to a whole nation? Exalts it. There was a time we were in that spot and that slot. We're not in it anymore. But sin... It doesn't matter whether American or Chinese or Lebanese. Sin is a reproach to any people. He spared not his covenant people, the original covenant. He said, if you're under grace and you're under the new covenant and you do what they did, judgment will come on you as sure as it came on them. And grace is not going to get you off the hook when you walk in rebellion. Grace is not to cover up for our sin. It's to get us out of our sin when we repent. Don't ever give to the poor. Give only to the blessed. You will be blessed yourself only as you give to the blessed. Giving to the poor is a waste of your money. God's people love to have it that way. How do you know? Because they fill the building and they fill the coffers Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. These greedy men and women were boasting about their multi-million dollar homes, jewelry, multi-million dollar jet planes and luxury cars. One boasted he had $10 million. They all claimed to be rich men. The tragedy was the people loved it. They were being exploited by a perverted gospel, but they loved it. Now let me close because it's time. He said, you're going to have to go under Nebuchadnezzar's yoke because you haven't repented. The false prophets gave them an alternative message. God is going to stand with you, give you victory in every battle. Judgment will never come upon this nation. They were wrong with God, but they had prophets telling them it's okay. He'll bless you in spite of it. One of those false prophets came up and took the yoke away from Jeremiah. And he slammed it on the ground and broke it into pieces. And he says, thus saith the Lord, you will not serve any foreign king. You will be blessed. And Jeremiah just calmly looked at him with a broken heart over the nation and said, you won't live out the year. The prophet died and Israel went into bondage. And they spent, the chosen people of God, spent 70 years in Babylon. And a warning is in the book of Acts. You're a wild olive branch in the new covenant. You've been grafted into Abraham's covenant, the true vine. With those blessings come responsibilities. Can you say amen? You can't just have God's blessing without bowing to Him and obeying Him. And to walk in rebellion is to court the same judgments under grace in the New Testament. Boast not yourself. Behold the goodness, because He grafted us in by grace, and the severity of God. We got a one-sided coin today. We only hear about the goodness of God. We never hear the severity. So the fear of God is gone. No one fears the judgment to come. And this message I'm bringing you from that book that we claim to be the one that we believe as the basis for our faith, from this book, there are preachers out there waiting for you. And they're going to tell you what your flesh wants to hear. Whether it shipwrecks you, destroys you or not, is not their concern. They're not going to be there to pick up the pieces, if there's any pieces left. Amen? I personally won't go to a church if it soft soaps it. If they think I'm not going to give and they're not going to become great, if they don't tell me what, I want them to tell me the truth. I want to be challenged. Let me give you something good to quit off on. Something sweet, like my great-grandmother said, after every meal we had something sweet to quit off on. Amen. That's how I got hooked on desserts. I need something. I don't care if it's just a little something, but something sweet to quit off on. There's a movement among young men and women, like this young man right here today. There's a movement afoot. God is moving. If God don't raise up a generation that says, I don't want that, I want something stronger, deeper. If I'm going to devote my life to something, I want something valuable enough for me to devote to. I want, if I'm going to get into religion at all, I want it to be one that I can believe in with my whole heart. I don't want a church that's just like the world that I'm struggling with. You're bought with a price. Scripture says you don't belong to yourself anymore. The purchase price was nothing less than the blood of Jesus Christ. that demands my everything, that demands my all tonight. How many love God tonight in spite of the heat? Glory to God. Will you stand with me this evening, brother? Will you come? Hallelujah. We used to preach this at the old Holy Church of God years ago. Isn't it amazing? Deja vu. We haven't changed the message to accommodate the false prophets. We haven't changed the message so I could be rich in my retirement. Something more important than what man can give me. I'm going to have to answer to God for you and you and you and you. And I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. When you walk out of this room tonight, I'm going to sleep like a baby. Because I'm pure, Sean, from the blood of everybody in here. If you walk out of here and stay in rebellion, listen to false prophets and hit judgment, God ain't going to hold me responsible. It's not that I don't care. It's just I can't do any more than I've done. All I can do is deliver the truth. You have to take it and apply it. Some people told me this morning they didn't want me to change. I want to tell you tonight, I'm grateful that you don't want me to change, but even if you did, I'm not going to. Amen. You say, Brother Bimble, you're just old school. You're one of those old, dyed-in-the-wool Pentecostal fire and brimstone preachers. Honey, I'm a truth preacher. Period. Amen. We don't take portions of that Bible and manipulate people with it. We challenge in every single service because we're in the last day. The love of many is waxing cold. And the falling away is here. And it's never seen more clearly than in ministerial leadership that is not truly following Jesus Christ. Their values are shaped by the world and the culture, and they match what this world is going after perfectly. They don't represent a kingdom that is worth more than all the riches of this world. And Jesus is knocking at the door of Laodicea tonight, just like he did 2,000 years ago, and said, if you'll open the door, I'll come in. And we'll sup together. And I'll give you the true riches. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. For I will not hand you over to the enemy of your soul. If you be without chastisement, as it is written, you are bastards and not sons. For I chasten every son that belongs truly to me, and I scourge everyone that I receive. One in two Christian marriages is going to fail, just like the world. It's touched leadership just like it does, and the anointing don't prevent it. Can you say, man, the anointing does not prevent it? Didn't prevent Samson from sleeping with a prostitute. Didn't prevent him from having his eyes plucked out. Can you say, man, that heavy, holy anointing, when he wasn't right with God, that anointing didn't stop the loss of that spiritual influence and strength. The anointing doesn't change the human heart. Can you say amen? Only God can do it. And Jesus stands at the door of that heart and he knocks and says, if you'll let me in and repent of your sin, I'll clean you up and I'll forgive you and I'll restore you and I'll safeguard you and I'll keep you. But you've got to let me in there to do that. Amen? Hallelujah. I've seen preachers fail. I've seen people in our church die young before their time, walking in rebellion. Don't want it to happen to nobody that I have any influence over. I want you to be safeguarded. Hallelujah. I want to stay close to Jesus in these treacherous days. Can you say, man, I want to see you flourish like the date palm, like Psalm 92 says. and God to anoint your horn like the unicorns, increase the genuine, authentic power of God in your life so that we can win others to Jesus and live in victory over the devil and the world. Amen? Amen. Brother, are you seated right there? We won't have a song tonight. Let's just join hands. It's getting late, and I know you're tired, and I know it's hot and uncomfortable. Hallelujah. In the days and weeks to come, I believe God is going to continue to take this ministry to Oslo, Norway, like He did last week. Since our brother, our media minister, put in the iPod to make it downloadable, people are downloading to MP3 players, places we never dreamed. 90 people downloading, what was it, the first month. And last month, there was 90, over 90 last month. And halfway through this month, there was already 60. And this is in 2 months, almost 90 now, 180 people almost. So I'm preaching to what's here tonight and 180 people on the internet. And I'm preaching in Tampa tonight and Oslo, Norway, if they download it. They definitely came to the website. And China. Who would have thunk it? Evidently, God still has confidence in this ministry. Even though people in Tampa are kind of staying away in droves, God is not done with us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I feel His good pleasure right now. We're seeing those open doors. Sean, I was a little hesitant, except what you said 2 weeks ago. You said, Brother Bimble, it's official now. You have an international ministry. But that website ain't lying. They're coming and they're listening. Why are they coming and listening? Amen? Because truth is truth all over this world. And a Christian with a heart for truth is going to recognize it when he hears it. I got confidence in the true church. Can you say amen? Not being hoodwinked and hornswoggled. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. They know the voice of truth. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Amen. And a stranger, I don't care how flashy, I don't care if he looks like an angel with wings, they will not follow. Can you say amen? Because He, the Spirit of truth, is come. The Holy Ghost don't just give us anointings and liver shivers. He comes to guide us into all of God's truth. And if we continue in His Word, we're going to know the truth. And the truth is going to set us free. Can you say amen? Not box us in, but set us free. Somebody give Him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Just give Him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. So let's get it on the airways. Let's keep preaching the truth. And let's see what the Lord will do before this thing winds up. Shake hands with somebody tonight and say, I'm glad I'm in a church like this tonight.